Blog Talk Radio.
Seven feet, barren, strange fruit, blood on the leaves. And blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree. Of the gallant south, them big bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolia, clean. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is the fruit. For the crows to pluck.
Yes, 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 yes. The strange fruit. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Give thanks. I want to thank you all for joining me here on the Culture of Freedom Radio. I'm with my brothers tonight. And the title of this show, Mama Pearl, the Ancient Newcomer, is Strange Fruit Rising. And that's what time it is right now, y'all. First of all, I want to say, give a big, big up and send all of my love, so much love to my brother, Sun Ray 9. Are you with me, my brother?
Oh, yes, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Peace to you. I mean, I just got to hear that voice. It just goes right through you. You know, you got that voice, man. You know, and the Most High puts you in the right place to be out there to deliver these words out in the universe. And I just give thanks and so much love to you.
Appreciate it. Just doing my best.
Hey, you're doing it. You know, it's only going to get better. So don't do your best yet. There won't be any room for improvement.
Indeed.
Yes. But, yeah, I'm getting back. Before I do anything, I want to give all praises to my Heavenly Mother, my Heavenly Father, the Most High, Highest, Creator of all creators and creations, in the name of my lifelong friend, you know, the Messiah Jesus. Yes, that's the way I do it. And, again, I want to thank you all for joining me here tonight on Strange Fruit Rising with my brothers at Culture Freedom Radio. Wow. I mean, I had... you know, what I thought, you know, planned, you know, that I wanted to talk about, you know, things that I wanted to try to, you know, just touch some pointers on. But, you know, you all know, Brother Son, I know you know, so much had occurred, just so much had been occurring. And I am just a little flabbergasted, you know, and I hadn't had a chance to really woosah yet. You know, I've been dealing and battling with the beast on the internet, on Google Plus all day, you know, and man, it's just so much corruption, so much deceit, you know, and it's like, man, you can't even get your hands around it all. So we had a brother out in Missouri, another one of our young sons, you know, Michael Brown, you know, killed there, and all of the craziness we got a chance to see, you know, the beast and the so-called law enforcement system, you know, do their dirty work and cover up as they're doing it. You know, we got a chance to see how they use the helicopters, the choppers, to signal the people underground so that they can surround, you know, the brothers and sisters on the ground who are doing a peaceful protest now. You know, peaceful protest, so they bring out all of these heavy ammunition. They had that sonic sound boom thing. They started throwing tear gas. They had the rubber bullets. I mean, some young sister was shot in the head, you know, because they didn't want anyone filming. They didn't want anybody filming to catch their lives on film to cut it and edit it before they get a chance to. You know, I mean, did get a chance to see the friend of the little brother, you know, and he clearly explained what happened before they got a chance to edit it. So much information came out. You know, I know we got brothers and sisters and friends all over the world. You know, they dug down and they found this crooked, you know, KKK cracker cop killer. You know, they found him. You know, and not saying, there's no way that we're saying, and there's no way that I'm saying, you know, that all, that I have hate for all white people, or I have hate for anyone, or I have just complete hate for the law enforcement, anything like that. But when wrong is wrong, you know, and you realize that there is a situation here. Someone is at war with us, is seriously at war with us. When we, black people, are consistently and constantly being the ones who are being murdered and lied on, and everything is covered up to prove that the system and the cop-killing murderers were within their rights. I mean, it's like, I mean, when and how far can this go? We pay the salaries of the police officers, okay, through our taxes. They promise to protect and to serve us, but they're serving someone other than us. We pay the salaries for our representatives, you know, and our president, you know, who are supposed to be looking out for us. We elected these people into office to do our best wishes and our best judgment and to represent us in the best light possibly. But for some reason now, they turned it around. They've been busy. They gave us a little song and dance, something to keep us busy. I guess when they were changing the television where you couldn't get free programming anymore, you had to get that little satellite box or whatever it is, that's when, you know, everybody's complaining about that. But while we were complaining about that, they're putting the final pieces on what they think is going to keep us and enslave us again, you know. And I'm just flabbergasted. I'm particularly disturbed in my whole being, in my soul right now. You know, and some melanated, supposed to be black guy, claims he's a Nuwapian on G+. You know, while we in the time mourning, you know, and getting up our strength and saying, okay, we're going to fight back now. We're going to protect and defend ourselves. He is busy telling us that we are stupid and we shouldn't fight and protect and defend, and defend ourselves. And then now he's out putting out new pictures of women of different race, talking about how beautiful they are. The black woman ain't this and the black woman ain't that. But he's got some fake halo that he purchased somewhere on his head. I mean, it's like, what is going on? And he's quoting Dr. Malachi of New York, you know, and I'm just, all of these agents, brother, son, I'm just want to get them all corralled up, you know, if they can be saved and like you say, brainwashed, you know, wash their brains. You know, we can save them, we can keep them. If not, we got to kill them. Get them out of here. You know, because they're not for us. All this guy has been doing is causing confusion. And I do know, you know, that our other brother, Kabino Ray, who is a true Nuwapian, you know, he has his own show. And I understand now, you know, a lot of the aggressiveness that you know, he exudes sometimes because of all the lies and things that's going on. You know, and let me tell you, I've only met Doc Malachi of New York one time in my life when I was 15 years old. It was a phenomenal spiritual divine meeting, okay? I hadn't met him again since, not that I can recall. But I do know that we have some kind of spiritual cord, a spiritual connection. Through his writings and his words, you know, his spirit is alive, and I'm able to discern and dissect, you know, certain things, you know, parts of it. And I am so glad that Dr. Malachi of New York truly did come into my life because he took the boulders out of my third eye. He moved that boulder away so that I can clearly see. And all of the universes in the heavens is available to me. And he clearly told you, look, if you don't believe me, go check it out for yourself. And me being the daredevil that I've always been, if you tell me to check something out, I'm going to check it out. You know, and because he knew that there's no way possible you can put all the information, you know, bring it down from the heavens and put it into little words that, you know, really mess things up and misconstrue things. So you have to go and check it out for yourself so that your spirit can connect with the divine spirit and you'll be filled up with all this information. But then, like I said, you got this other, I don't even want to call him a brother now because I don't even know what he is, Nuwabian Hutep, whatever you want to call him. Just all confusion, just confusing everything. Telling the brothers, you know, you go out and date any women you want, you know, reproduce with any race you want. It don't matter. All that old-fashioned stuff. That's not the teaching of Dr. Malachi of New York that I'm reading, you know, and it certainly doesn't make any sense as far as nature or natural stance. Of course, you know that, you know, you can go out and mate with anyone you want, but there's a principality of mind that you just don't cross, just like the dogs don't sleep with the cats don't sleep with the wolves don't sleep with the horses, and so forth and so on. And we, knowing that we are of a specific gene pool, genealogy, a specific race, and we already know that we have been forced into mixing our breed. You know, we had a beast who have done a horrible thing to us, got us all mixed up. I mean, it's just a horrible thing he has done. So now we're trying to, you know, rectify and get back to our natural stance. So we got devils like this here, new, whatever his name is, guy on G+, talking the stuff that he's talking. And it was very disturbing because I didn't expect to find that, you know, today. You know, and it came at a time, Brother Son, you know, especially last night when everyone's, you know, ears and eyes are keen on what's going on in Missouri. We're sending out prayers there. We're trying to encourage our brothers and sisters. Even if all you do have is a rock, you pick up that rock, and we talked about that before. You pick up that rock and you fight back. You have to do something. What you going to do is just lay down and just tell them, let them roll over you, lay down and die? You don't want to say to get up and wage war, but we say defend yourself. Fight back. That's a natural occurrence. Like I say, you know, you see a caterpillar on the ground or outside or anywhere, touch it. And what is it going to do? Get in its defensive stand and roll up. Everybody, everything defends itself. So you telling me that we, as the people of this earth, we can't defend ourselves? That's crazy. It's just crazy. And then the thing is to see this little brother just lying there. He didn't do anything. I mean, and then there's another one, you know, and there's another one. And I hadn't even gotten to those yet. You know, it's like, my God, you can clearly see that someone is at war with us. And we're talking about the strange fruit rising, and we are rising. There's too many. All the souls that are caught up in the whirlwind. You know, and I just want to reach out truly to all of my Caucasian, Caucasian, white people. You know, I mean, this is your responsibility as well. If we're going to coexist in a peaceful world, if you don't want your little babies to be ending up like our little babies are ending up, then you all had better come and put an end to this nonsense. Because this is crazy. There's no need for this, no reason for this. What man you think is going to continually allow you to hurt their children and their women? That's not going to happen. You know, and we don't need this bloodshed. Why? To keep the puppet master, you know, rich, to keep them in control, to keep them to try to, you know, make this world and put himself as God where he can be omnipotent and omnipresent because of all the technology now, and to instill this fear in your soul, make you forget that you are a spiritual being, that you are completely connected directly to the Most High, Highest, Creator of all creators and creation, and that your ancestors are just but a whisper away? Wow. Hmm. Wow. But it's not, like I said, I'm floored. I'm floored.
I feel you. Feel you. I'm gonna pray. Do you have someone calling in from area code 314?
Yes. Okay. Please.
Yeah, let me bring him in. Yes, 314. Your line is open. Peace to you.
Well, free the line, Mama Pearl. St. Louis native and citizen, New African, Alvin Brown. President of the Provisional Government, Republic of New Africa.
Yes, sir, President. Thank you so much. Brother Son, this is our President, Alvin Brown, of the Provisional Government for the Republic of New Africa. He is in Missouri right now. Oh, so President, so glad you're here. So, you know, like, I was like, completely without words because of all the things that has been occurring. And President, there's no way that I expected to see this black devil today. I wasn't kind of expecting that today. You know, and I've been, you know, battling with him all day. And he is truly against anyone, you know, standing up for themselves and defending themselves against the United States government. And he blatantly said that only less than maybe a half hour, 40 minutes ago. But I'm glad you're here, sir, because, you know, I wanted everyone to know that we do have an option. We have a government here in the United States of America. Our president. So, can you? I try to do my best explaining to, you know, my brothers and sisters about, you know, new Africans in the provisional government. You know, and I let everyone know that, you know, you are coming through and to be listening to the voice of our president. Another phenomenal voice that just goes straight through your soul. So President, please, you know, share some things about and help us. Let us know that we have some other options and what we need to do and what we can do to bring, you know, our sovereignty and independence into fruition. Alvin Brown.
Okay. Well, first I want to say thank you, Mama Pearl, for, you know, having this program and the time to I've been listening. And as you said, there are options, because I was looking at the headlines. I'm only 5 miles away from this. My grandsons came back riding through. My point of view, like I said, I'm 70 years old. I was born here in St. Louis, 1944. I can tell you stories about the city of St. Louis, or I can tell you about what the Ferguson police stopped me 40 years ago, almost 40 years, 1976. Coming back home, my wife and daughter were laying down in the station wagon, and, you know, we had left a drive-in back then. 1 o'clock is the time the movie was over, coming on out Florissant Road right there. And as soon as I passed the cop, I knew what was happening, you know, because we know what happens here. As soon as he saw my black face, I was pulled over.
Wow.
The lights from the flashing car got my wife and daughter to jump up. My daughter was 9 years old. And, officer, you know, I'm going home. We've been to the drive-in, you know, and the movie just let out. What's the problem? And he made some old excuse about a light being out, but he knew the problem was, a black face out at 1 o'clock.
Right.
I can name that in Missouri left and right. In Florissant, right, where I lived for 40 years, I've been as I heard you say, I've been a property owner, a taxpayer, paid my personal property and property taxes, which means it pays police departments. It means it pays school districts, water districts, all the rest of it. The strange thing is, even with the 40 years in the county and the 30 years in the city, I've never been called to jury duty. And one time I got called, they excused me. Because they don't, again, that's the policy in Missouri here, St. Louis, Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri, St. Louis County. I live in the unincorporated St. Louis County, surrounded by Florissant, Ferguson, Hazelwood, Berkeley. If you were reading the stories, Ferguson itself, white people ran within the last 20 years, and it went from, you know, just a small percentage of white black people to now 67% black. But they're not registered voters. Out of 15,000 registered listed voters, there's only 1,500 that voted. That's why you get only 3 black police officers, and all the white officers still there who were elected by the whites. That's the same thing in Jennings and Ferguson and Pine Lawn and Kenlock. The whites move out, the blacks move in. These particular ones, the whites haven't left the elected positions yet or the police department. Now, having said that, you know, the people that are actually out in the street, because they're looking at Malik Shabazz here today, been with him. Zaki, who's leading and walking straight down the street, has been our election commission chair locally for 2 different elections. What I'm saying, and what nobody can doubt, the problem that we face is one of problem of, the stigma that's on the black male, on the black race, intimidation by young black males, continued killing happens, as I had said before. You can name almost any city, any month, any year.
Oh.
And, yeah, yes, we want to stop that. And right now, where it is right now in St. Louis County, the last thing they want to hear is about a faraway plan. Yes. But in reality, the option is like what's done in 1968, March 31st. When they signed that declaration, they said, we believe the fundamental reason our oppression continues is that we as a people lack the power to control our lives. Mm-hmm. We went on further to say, I believe that the fundamental way to gain that power and end oppression is to build a sovereign black nation. This is an election year for the Republic of New Africa. I've been an elected district rep from St. Louis New African Population District for 9 years before I was president, for 3 years. They know about the Republic of New Africa. Until we get control, and when I say we, I'm talking about the New Africans who want control and live in their own country, the benefit benefits us all because what we need is reparations and self-determination, that self-determination being the plebiscite where we say how we want our reparations. And it will, as I've seen in the paper talking about it, people from afar sitting here talking about, well, the good white people in St. Louis, there are some good white people in St. Louis who know things could be better and that if they change things, it would benefit everybody. I agree with that because just like Frederick Douglass said, the slave, he put a stain on the slave and on the slave master. His little children grew up to be nothing but brutes and brutalizers and all this. It affected both of them. The last fugitive slave law in 1850 really made good white people mad because if they happened to give a lift to, say, like somebody like, say, J-Lo or Halle Berry, and then they found out down the road that, she got a drop of Negro blood in them, they got punished. Wait a minute. That's when they had a fit. The Civil War didn't happen and slavery didn't end in the blink of an eye. It started with a flashpoint. St. Louis could be a flashpoint. This is an election year by the United States paying and rectifying the human right violation of chattel slavery. It will benefit all of the descendants of those who were held in chattel slavery. It will benefit the continent of Africa. It'd benefit this country because it could even go to Israel now and tell them don't do what we did last night in St. Louis to the Palestinians anymore. It's the same thing.
Right,
overwhelming force on a people who can't run nowhere. I don't want to use that MORAL because it's overused. But the fact is, if you practice what you preach, then you would be able to speak to those who are not allowing human rights to advance. And the human rights, this case in St. Louis, unfortunately, we don't have any judges here or anything like in Miami, where this case here, while they're compiling all the information, and believe me, Robert McCullough is still the county prosecutor. As far as I know, he still hasn't released the information from when the FBI, DEA, the county police, about 10 years ago, killed these two brothers at a jacket, blew their car up and all that. And McCullough's comment then was the same. I'm not going to release the information. If you want the justice, you do like Malcolm said. You take your criminal to court. You don't go to your criminal's court. What I'm hearing is here in St. Louis, we want justice and we want the United States government. Okay, while you're doing that, should be compiling this information and taking it as a human rights violation, the elimination of the young, picking them out, that is genocide. Those can be presented to a Ministry of Justice and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which are two ministries that are functioning in this present government, mm-hmm. and taken to the United Nations like the Palestinians did.
Okay.
You know, you want justice, and then the guys who are administering the laws, the police are the ones who enforce the law. Then you go to the law itself. Now, I'm not saying don't go, but I'm saying you play both your cards. Because I went to participated in a United Nations forum on reparations and all that. That time it got me because they were going to close down the 2001 World Conference Against Racism because the Palestinians were hollering that Zionism is racism. You know, I believe it is when you look at the theory. But we wasn't going to let the subject of reparations being held on the African continent be sabotaged. And the enemy, the power structure, has always been able to put that divided in there. So whereas, you know, we got half the people, or we're saying around here, well, there's a good people here in Ferguson don't want this to happen. Nobody wants it to happen. Yeah, right. There's outsiders coming in. Yeah, that happens everywhere. I mean, don't they come into they're coming into Ukraine from Russia and from Chechnya and everywhere. They come into Syria from you know where. Who knows where? Mm-hmm. They coming into Iraq. They come into Afghanistan. Whenever there's a political situation that can be exploited, military will get you so far, but then in the end, as is being said all over the world, a political solution has to be sought. For black people, new Africans, for the descendants of Africans held in bondage and chattel slavery, they are entitled after being the 13th Amendment was ended. They were free. They were entitled to choose their own destiny, and they were entitled to reparations. And there were people who fought. They didn't want to give back that confiscated lands in Mississippi and South Carolina and other places. They didn't take that lightly. And if you doubt they had a right, look up the Freedmen's Bureau's records or also books in the library on Right to the Land. They had a right, and their descendants have the right. That's why I'm talking to the young folks. My grandson, like I said, you know, 50 years have passed by, you'll just be 65. You still be dealing with this crap.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. A political solution to the fact that the United States has never paid its debt, the state, the federal government, local governments in Missouri, they were split right down the line. Slavery was legal in Missouri, practiced in Missouri. The state was split. And the government, the federal, state, and local all helped, it, you know, kept it going. They are. It's a government a problem that the government has to solve. And until you get another government going to the United Nations or another group of nations, you're not going to let them be able to help you out as long as you call yourself a citizen of the United States. Now, take your problem to the people who, like me and others, who have stated that their sole allegiance is to the Republic of New Africa, and has stated in writing that they are a citizen, that has the backing of even the Supreme Court in the 1976 decision, U.S. versus James, that we are a nation, that has admitted and submitted papers where the FBI ran COINTELPROs on our president and leadership. Whereas we have a petition right now that still was presented to the United Nations on genocide, and the committee that still chairs it will still be in session through 2021. I'm calling for the young people who I don't want to go out here and burn this down or nothing. That don't make any sense. I want to have some action. I don't see what's happening when I sit here and just beg the police. They just wait us out. Come join us, the Republic of New Africa. Help set the government structure up. It's already structured. It needs to be filled in so that we can proceed for our people's cause. It's only been 46 years, mm-hmm. but the problem that we as a people are facing has been since 1865, as far as this particular stage of it. 1968, 66, 65, and all that, you know, they have, the power structure has quit mentioning the choice of independence, although it's been here ever since then. In 1968, when we signed the Declaration, Lyndon Johnson came on to announce he wasn't going to run for president. In 1971, they had Watergate and all of that stuff that interfered with what was happening in, on August 18, 1971. The Attorney General and all the rest have withheld information all on what was going on as far as the reason why the Republic of New Africa was trying to hold a peaceful plebiscite in the national territory on land that we as a people have lived on for a long time, worked and developed and fought to stay on. That's recognized by the United Nations as a reason for your claim to that land. And the common culture, no matter how much people, black people want to deny it or don't want to recognize it, our common claim is heritage is chattel slavery. That forced us into a separate group. They wouldn't allow us to be citizens. They wouldn't allow us to know what the former language and customs and religions were. They didn't allow you to know where you would come from. They didn't allow any kind of family contact and all of this. You were proper. This was the common culture. You had to have your own church when they let you have a church because they didn't want you there. As I always say, I was born in a black hospital, segregated hospital, but both my parents, my mother, who's still alive, she's born 1921 here in St. Louis. She's 93. She was born at home, a midwife, because they didn't have no hospital for us here in St. Louis until 1937 or 38, after, you know, Roosevelt and all of them got in. They gave us Homer G. Phillips. My daddy wasn't born in a hospital. He's born in Mississippi under the house. So, you know, this kind of thing, the fact this is what made us, you know, the indignity of being who we are. And we are still, because the images and all and the lies and the racism that's ingrained in this society. You hear me? 70 years old and no reason to bite my tongue. Racism is ingrained in the American society. You don't have to be born here. Come here and stay 2 months. Okay. You'll be just as racist as the next person. And it's not confined to just white people.
Right.
You know, it's the culture where we were painted as an inferior people. And until when you have somebody tell you rightfully, well, yeah, I ain't got it against you. You know, my grandfather owned your grandfather. That's the thing that has to be correct. That's true. A lot of them can say that. That was told to me. You know, I wanted to, you know what I wanted to do, but gee.
Yeah.
You see. So the long range, the other thing is in November of this year, there will be every 3 years, the provisional government holds national elections for president, vice president, district reps, like who could be right here in St. Louis and that, and getting the people's complaints before the judges, which are elected, and then we can give it to the various ministries to move forward. The provisional government elections are headed by a National Election Commission. Mama Pearl is a chairperson of that. Sister Commissioner Chairwoman. It's an opportunity to get engaged in the slow and steady but necessary work that is needed. because the civil rights movement, with all of the leaders that they named, the ones that they don't want to name, was Malcolm X and all the rest of them. There was a counterbalance. And there was the Black Panther Party and all that. They lock them all up. Black Panther Party and any military or militia operation could be legal if it had allegiance to a government structure. Like Hamas, you know? That's the military arm of the Palestinian. And they won the elections on the Gaza Strip. Okay, become affiliated or give your allegiance to protecting your people in a military formation of the Republic of New Africa, following all the protocol and practices under the United Nations laws, which we can do, practice right now, and help us get this, you know, situation corrected, because if it don't, it is going to continue. And you don't want to hear me say it when it's happening. And then when it's peace and quiet, nobody wants to hear it because, oh, you're just talking that old stuff.
Right.
You gotta practice what you preach.
You're absolutely correct, you know. And it is written, you know, and you're absolutely correct, Mr. President. It has to be, you know, a politics, because power only succeeds to power. And it is written. And the oldest book that has been written, you know, that, you know, the war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and the government is a principality, you know. So, I mean, you're absolutely correct, you know, and everyone, you've got the ears of the young people, you know, tonight, you know, and everyone who is sick of this situation, I mean, let's do for ourselves. We are to govern ourselves. One of the things, Sir President, that I found out that had a lot of people skeptical is the word republic. They thought that republic meant like the federation or something like that. But, you know, I try to let them know the republic simply means the people. You are the people. And that's what the provisional government stands for. That's what we made up of the people, for the people, by the people. You know, and yes, please, you know, if anyone has any questions, we have our president here. They say he's 70 years old, and I've been telling you all that this machine, our government, has been created. Our elders and our ancestors, they've created it. You know, they're tired now. They're older. You know, and we're looking for the young blood, the young minds. We have you all. You know, let's do something right. Stop being a statistic, you know, for no reason. And let's fight for this cause, to govern ourselves and to have our own.
Amen.
You have any questions, Brother Sun? This is my beloved Brother Sun Renine, the president. He's out in Tennessee.
Yeah, well, I really have no question. I just really want to just say I want to give a thanks to our elder for, you know, fighting for us and, you know, making young brother. I'm in my 43. I just want to give our elders, you know, their proper props. And, you know, like I said, we like to wait before our elders are gone from us, and then we want to talk about our elders and, you know, and give them all their props and stuff. So we need to let them know right now why they're here. We appreciate them for laying down the foundation for young brothers like me to be able to have a voice, to speak the way I do, and, you know, and to be able to say what I can say, you know, because it was, you know, like I look at some of the pictures from even going back to civil rights eras when I was looking at some earlier when they were seeking police dogs, German shepherds on our elders, you know, they had to go through those type of things, you know, even though now we're getting shot down in the street and so, but we're not going through the things that y'all had to go through when y'all was standing up trying to fight for us. So I want to just say, I want to thank all our elders who's still with us for your great fight and the fight that you're still continuing to fight. You know, we got a lot of our freedom fighters that's in prison, and a lot of our people we have forgotten about those people. So we still want to give our thanks to all of those brothers who sacrificed I hate even using that word sacrifice, but who have given their life, laid down their life, and for, you know, for their people. And so I just wanted to thank, you know, our elders for that. And, yeah, we just have to keep on the fighting and just not let hear and read about what y'all have done in books. We need to join in and grab that, what they call that baton. And we need to start running with that thing. You know what I'm saying?
That's
not
right.
Just to, and wait till our elders, well, man, they did a great thing, man, and just read about it in the history books. Let's to continue to make our history. Let's make our history continue. Because like I said, world history, black history is world history. It ain't just no February in February. So like I said, we have to keep on and make our elders proud. Like we love to make our mom and dads proud. Let's make our elders proud as younger people and keep on passing the torch so they can look at it like, man, we didn't get those dogs and those batons seeked on us for nothing. You know what I'm saying? It paid off. So now we got to let them see that it's paying off. So we got to keep up this fight for real.
And don't you know, brother, son, them dogs, when they sticked them dogs on us, on our people back in the day, and they were ready to do that just last night. They had them same bag on dogs. You know, those dogs, they taught them dogs. Them dogs went directly for the vaginas of the women and the breasts of the women and the groins of the men. They snatched their groins off. But no one talked about that.
Yeah, I saw that because I posted up an article on Facebook, actually on Facebook, one of them, I got to find it, where they were showing the similarities between the Civil Rights era and what the hell was happening in Ferguson the other day. Yeah, they showed the similarities, and you could just clearly see it. And what's getting me, Susan, to go back to it and let the elder get back in, is how our people still with what's going on, because that's actually also too, and they're not talking about this. They downplaying this one right here too, sister, because they see what happened with New York. The brother got choked out in New York and killed in New York, and now this thing is going on in Ferguson. And just, what was that? It was yesterday, for a matter of fact. I was reading the Huffington Post, and they shared that LAPD had shot down another unarmed brother, 25-year-old brother in L.A., and see, you're not hearing about that one because they're trying to downplay so much stuff because of what happened in Ferguson and the people riding. So they don't want to put that out there like, dang. And people want to say, there's an attack on us as a black people. So they got to downplay it as much as they can right now. But there's a constant attack where we're getting killed. And the whole thing when he got shot down and killed, first thing they want to say in the article was they don't know if he had any gang affiliations. What did that have to do with the police killing him, LAPD? None whatsoever. But like I said, I really want to make a statement, though, and I'm going to shut up and let the brother get in. What's hurting me more is I understand, I see that the police are killing our people and we're being murdered out here, but the thing that's hurting me more is that our people are cowarding down and they're teaching our people to be cowards and don't say nothing, don't have a voice, just keep on reading your books, just keep studying your lessons, don't worry about that. You can't win if you go up against those. That's the thing. And see, they keeping out, getting our people docile. That is the thing that's hurting me more than just keep on continuing to send us reading these articles. It's how our people are punking us out now. And so it's just like, lay down your life peacefully. Like Malcolm said, just lay down your life peacefully. Don't fight. If they hit you in your jaw, just turn the other cheek. Give them the other jaw. I ain't going out like that.
Well, they're going to get the other jaw, all right. They're going to get it. And that's what turning the other cheek means. But see, them devils, you know, they taught us that turning the other cheek means, okay, let them slap you on the other cheek too. Although that's the oldest book written, you can tell the BS from the truth because the BS don't mix. It's confusion, you know. And it was told if there's confusion in it, that it ain't correct, it ain't right, it ain't truthful because there shouldn't be no confusion, you know. So, but yeah, we have a lot to do, a lot of work to do, and that's why, you know, I'm here, I'm with it, I'm down with, you know, my president, you know, I mean. And I'm telling you, you know, I mean, just like all of us, we're facing health issues, too, because this is what happens when you get up in age. You know, and I love him so much because he's still holding it down, you know, and looking for the young people. They're running around in the clubs, and now it's NFL time, so nobody's got time for anything but the NFL right now. And it just boggles my mind how everyone can just go and give all and just continue to pay the salaries for these clowns who won't give anything back to their community or their neighborhood, but yet these are, they will fight you for these daggone sports players that don't care anything about their government or governing themselves. And then you have a lot of other so-called black people, intellectual minds. Now they want to build this corporation. They got this little group. They got this niche. They want to buy this land and this community. Well, we're talking about the whole damn state. It's ours. What community? We want the whole land. It's ours. So it's like, come on, let's get real with this, you know? I mean, what we need to start doing is just separating all the BS people. You know, if that's what you want, stay on over there with it. And we need to pull the ones who are interested and want to do something, want to grow, want a land, a nation to raise up their babies in. Because we can't raise our babies in this mess. We are awake. The spell is gone. We know that we are different people. We breathe differently. We eat differently. We heal differently. There's things that we have to learn differently. We get different information from Ra, the sun. We're different. And we need to come back and become whole. We have a lot of healing to do. This devil has done a horrible, horrible thing to us. And it's in our DNA. The pain is there. We have a lot of healing to do. And I am so thankful, Sir President, for you joining us today. And I'm going to shut up because I know we have a lot of young voices who want to hear you.
Well, first, let me say, what's the brother's name there?
Brother Sunray Nine.
Yeah.
Sanye?
Sunray. Sun.
Sunray.
Sun.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for what you said, and believe me, what I would like to say to the young people, as you said, you know, don't wait until they're gone, the elders. You know, I would like to be a consigliere to the young people. I didn't get conscious until I was 45 due to my daughter coming with the biography of Malcolm X from college. But my mentors from 45 to 70 was Imari Obadeli and Chokwe Lumumba. You know, the elders that are gone are Hannibal or Freak. No, but Imari and Chokwe were the two. And I listened to them, not only listened, what they offered was, here, get involved with this and see what you can do. And this is how, by, you know, following them, and then when you went, you had a question, it didn't have to say, well, what would Imari say or what would Chokwe say? Go ask them. And this is what the young generation can do now, because I don't want to tell you nothing. When you go out there and you run into a problem, I can tell you what we did and eliminate it. At least you're making a double step. And Brother Son, the problem is the same. The tactics that they are using with the dogs and all the rest, the advantage that you guys, you young people have today is technology. You letting them, everybody see it as it's happening. You know that them, the Klan and the rest of them, even when they came after my daddy and everybody else, they came at night. Well, do you know that, as Malcolm said, they were cowards. They wouldn't want to come at you in the daytime. They come at night, large numbers. Well, that doggone Facebook and all the rest of that has took that cover away. But so, since you have that, then organize and proceed with the fact that the police now know that's what happened today. O.J. Nixon came here and put the state police in charge, highway patrol in charge. Them jokers, we've been scared of them for 50 years. But at any rate, what he said is that, you know, we gave y'all all these armaments because they bought all the army surplus stuff that came back from Iraq and gave it to the police department.
Right.
pay $100,000 just to maintain something, but the mayor says, well, I hope we don't have to use it. We'll pay $100,000 to maintain it, but when we have to use it, we will. Well, when my wife saw that and she says, ain't that something? I said, you forgot 1969. They had a tank right here in downtown St. Louis when they had a sniper on the Pruitt-Igoe projects and had everybody pinned down. And here we come, 6:30 in the morning, here come a tank rolling up the street, and it made everybody get out. It's the same problem. The Black Panther Party came in because the police, as Huey and the rest of them said, were occupiers of our community. It's the same problem. Community control has always been sought. Shokwe showed us an example of how you can get on what you describe as a national territory and let the people decide. And they use most of the workings and the theories of the Republic of New Africa's anti-depression program. And that program is still there, and it's available for the young people. It's written, so you know you can sit there and do your own interpretation of it, then have someone who's still around to act, oh, well, this means that. Or that tried that, and it should have been revised to this or something like that. But the opportunity to always be the battle itself is the same. And the big thing is that the technology now, and they still want to call it civil rights. That's why we have all this division, because this by far. Here they wanted to tell the civil rights, to tell the people today that they could not demonstrate after dark. But a week ago, they had the annual event here in St. Louis called the Midnight Ramble. It's where it's an event the white people engage in, raises funds for charity, and at midnight they start riding all through the city. Well, if you raise money after midnight, how come I can't protest after midnight? But it's the way, I mean, so, you know, you address that from that standpoint of view, as far as the young ones, including if it's, you know, the new Black Panther Party, the old Black Panther Party, whatever the various formations called, because we got them here too, and they're divided. Division always benefits those in power. And when you say, how long will that go on? Frederick Douglass answered that. How much oppression will they heap on you? Find out the limits of the slave, and you will find out how far the slave master will go. They'll go as far as you permit them. When you finally stop and say, and as we said, it's 1968, we choose to go a different way. Now, having said that, let's keep in mind for you young people especially, there were at least four choices available for all of the freed Africans who were released from chattel slavery and even those who were affected by it. Go back to Africa. Go to another country, South America, Canada, or Caribbean. Become a U.S. citizen, or build your own sovereign, independent nation on land here in North America that we had lived on. And so there's going to be, they call it divisions, we have choices. That's why we all need to come together to make them, as far as we say, rectify the human, crime against humanity. The transatlantic slave trade, and we hold that to that. That's the same human rights that all the rest of the people who are fighting, the Palestinians are fighting, because their human rights were violated when their land was taken away and a new state was built. You can't wash away history. That's still there. And chattel slavery, the 13th Amendment, and worst of all, the 14th Amendment. Because the 14th Amendment should have been an offer. It can't impose citizenship on you. You and me and Mama Pearl, all of us, we're citizens by birth. But they never let our ancestors choose, well, I really want to be a citizen, so I'll be under, so that when I know in 2014 you tell me I can't come out and pick it up at 9 o'clock, I agree, I signed on to them laws. But when I didn't sign on to them, or I have no input on how they're going to be done, and everybody comes in and tells me as far as the politicians, you know, okay, this is the way the political system works, well, okay, if that's the way that the political system works, either I need to change the political system or change the politics that I'm engaged in. But it's all politics. Otherwise, it's extermination, and they're good at that.
Mm.
You know, we know that. History has shown us they're good at that.
Mm. Right.
So let me, like I said, the thing is, there are people here. The opportunity, I saw them saying when the NAACP and other people came here, there was a comment saying that nobody knows these leaders. Well, nobody knows our leaders either. But, you know, that was all in the plan. I mean, let's go back to the fact that COINTELPRO was to stop the gangs from uniting with the nationalist movement. And that has been the benefit. From 1970 on, they locked all the conscious, as they want to call them, lawbreakers up. I mean, you know, I heard everybody from Barry Goldwater to Malcolm X say, you know, extremism in defense of, as Goldwater said, conservatism. Malcolm said, in defense of liberty is no vice. You know, but it has to be organized and rational with a goal. You know, and you have to be willing, as we say in our creed, I will struggle without cease until we have won sovereignty. I will struggle without fail until we have built a better world than the world has yet known. And so I ain't doing nothing different, Mama Pearl, than Imari Obadiah and people I name. You know, they died, still a citizen of Republic of New Africa, still trying to do their little part. In the New African independence movement, still trying to make it better for our younger people, because, you know, that's where everything is. You guys are the ones who got to live with it. And once they get you past, I think you probably know that now, once you get past that 35, then they kind of have a little wedge where they can always tell you that, well, I got a 19-year-old sitting out there waiting to take a job, if there was a job. So even the demographics and the things against you change. You get past 50, 60, then the age group, they throw you in all these different categories. They throw you into the economic category, the education category, you know, the cultural category, you know, the religious category. There's so many ways to being divided so that those in power stay in power.
Oh, and Mama Pearl, we actually have another good brother on the line, a good elder, a pioneer on the line with us. I want to speak to you also, and we have a question coming up for you from the chat room. Bring my good brother in. Peace to you, Brother Umar Sharif. Mama Pearl, this is our good brother, Brother Umar Sharif, out of Jacksonville, Florida. Peace to you, brother. How you doing?
Peace, good brother. How you doing? How you doing?
Free the land, my brother.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to have a couple of things just to say, so I can sit back and enjoy the show. This is one of the main things that I really admire. I think, Brother Sunray, we talked about this a while back on one of your shows, is how the youth is taken to the streets. They're not scared, man. You know, and the thing is that they don't lost all hope in these Uncle Tom leaders. You know, I think you noticed on Facebook the other day, the Caucasian news reporter called Al Sharpton right out. You know, as an Uncle Tom sellout working for the FBI, you know. So this thing done really done evolved to another level, you know. The difference is that when we was coming up in the 60s, you had a lot of major cities on fire. You know, you just got that one city that's on fire, and the hostility has reached a very height on the young youth that's out there in the street. But during the 60s, we had several cities on fire that they couldn't just deal with so much of that, and they would not allow that to happen. That only shows that the pain was felt, you know, more than us just being on social media.
Mm-hmm.
we felt that pain in a lot of the cities like Atlanta, Miami, New York City, and other areas was blasting, man, you know. And that's what's lacking. But other than that, I really do admire the fact that they're out there in the streets. The other thing is that they got so many distractions. I think today in one of the papers that I saw is that they got they was caught in a Baghdad in the streets of America, you know. Mm-hmm. And that shows you how the distraction, how the news media got us distracted on, and our focus is on that. But the easing behind that thing, man, is the Ebola. That thing is dangerous. Dropped that thing right in Atlanta now. You notice they dropped that thing right in Atlanta. And I'm telling you, man, the African continent, they're not even prepared for it. And it's gonna get real serious, man, especially the health thing with our people, man. They're going to suffer real bad, you know. But the main thing that we got to do is weather the storm, you know. But I just wanted to just, you know, share that with you because it was just on my heart, you know, just to see how they got all of these distractions going on. And at the same time, they done eased that Ebola in this country, man, and got it right in Atlanta, Georgia, you know.
That's right. And I even heard the rumor, I don't know if it's true, that they're going to put that in the water in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, I know Detroit is already on a very low level about they got the water situation shut down. Mm-hmm. There. It was another city too. I think Sister Zaza Ali had mentioned Detroit, but I saw it on the news. But it's another city also that they done shut the water down too. You know, so you know, but they got these distractions. They're taking it to another level, man, and we got to stay focused, you know.
Got to stay focused, and we have to adapt and rise to the occasion just like they do. They are adapting, you know, and we are the adapters. So, I mean, however high they rise, we can rise even higher, you know.
Exactly.
But, again, you know, like you say, all our children are taking it out in the street, but they're out there without any I guess you could say real leadership. They're just out of anger. They're fueled. They don't think they have any true leaders. They can't trust anybody. So that's why when I'm out here, I'm swinging like crazy because, you know, I mean, I have to be like my children are, you know, because I'm fighting for my children. You know, I mean, I can use any kind of choice word that you come up with. If you want to speak to me on an intellectual level, I got you on that. If you want to get down gutter, I got you right there, too. You know, because I know all things work together for those. You know what I'm saying? But, our babies, man, they're out there, they're fighting. But we need to let them know that, you know, the fight is not in the street like that. We have to organize, strategize, and come together, build up our government so we can have our land. That's 5 states. That's Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, and South Carolina. How many square acres is that? That's 5 states. That's enough for all of our people to come back and forth. We're not saying that you all have to come and live in these states. If you want to go across the water, fine. But knowing that we have a nation here where you want to come back and forth, you can come. And this is your home, your nation, black people right here that we built where the spirit of your ancestors and the blood of your ancestors is. You know,
nobody never made a proposal to them that they should try to, I had mentioned the summary a while back, that, you know, they should boycott their money, man. I mean, you know, just they don't have to take to the streets like that. I admire the strength that they're doing, but if African-Americans can galvanize their money and hurt them in the pockets, it'll be more effective to them, you know.
Galvanize their money and put it into this government because it costs a lot of money to build up this government. You know, that's one of the things that the Provisional Government for Republic of New Africa is lacking because, you know, we are the black people and all of our brothers and sisters, our ancestors and our elders have used their own resources to get us this far, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, our resources are very limited. And we've got our young people out there in the street, you know, they're out there doing these parties and clubs. I've seen these young people go to the stores and pull out rolls of money. And I'm in there counting tens, you know, so we have to get there to realize that we need this money in this government. Help us build this machine, you know, because we need it. We need, and when it comes to printing, when it comes to emailing, or anything, lights, you know, the internet, all that is money.
Right.
And we need it.
Right. Okay, my sister, I just wanted to just, you know, sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you giving me this opportunity to make some comments. Thank you very much.
Sure. And brother, you don't mind, I'll leave your mic open if you want to, brother. If you want, if you don't mind.
Yeah, there ain't no problem, brother. I'm still on.
We have the president right here. Yeah. This is the president for the Provisional Government for Republic of New Africa, Alvin Brown. He is right here with you right now. So if you have anything that you would like to direct to him, please do so. Because we'd like to have you with us.
Yes.
And excuse me 1 second, brother. Brother Sedan Ruger, he had a question, but I got kicked out. Brother Sedan Ruger, you repost your question for the elders in the chat room because Blog Talk kicked me out and it reset, so I lost your question. So if you don't mind, if you reset, resend your question for us so we can get your answer for you. All right, peace. So go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, brother.
So, President?
Oh, I was just going to comment on the because the young people here, that's why I was talking to my 16-year-old earlier today about, because I thought I might have to, you know, because my grandsons, both of them, their father's right there with them, father and mother. But I says, you know that thing about the police deal, because see, the youngest one, he's big. Mm-hmm. And as Malik said, well, he's not as big as Mike Brown. No, but he's only 11 right now.
Wow.
He'd be 6 foot. Right now, Justin is the biggest student in the sixth grade that he's going in as of this week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
But the police have always used that thing about being intimidated and being feared by young black people. And so that's always going to be something that they're going to throw up there first. I see with this group right here, I heard and I read the same thing, and I saw them say it, you know, calling Al Sharpton out and saying that it was a lack of leadership and even calling Jesse and all the rest of them bottom feeders, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, as I was saying, there was at least four choices, and what we have found, since I can tell you, 68 to now, that the political way that they thought the black power was going to work ain't working in the United States system. It's just like when Marcus Garvey came here in 1917 and on, and that he came to America when at a time where the first generation, which like my grandfather's first generation's freeborn, they had come to the conclusion after all the lynchings in 1890 and the 1900s, 1910, lynching them left and right, that America, the promise of America, wasn't for them. That's why Garvey was able to lead the largest movement to this day of
That's
black
right.
people, because he reconnected them to their roots and to the fact that the promise or dream is put out there in front of you ain't really for you. And the same tactics have always been used. You know, they wind up sending sent him to jail, and then they exported him, extradited him, sent him back to Jamaica, you know. When the leaders are born here and they get out of hand, then they kill them like Malcolm or Martin. Then when they get to the point to whereas they can influence young people, then they put them in jail. These young people here in St. Louis, you're right. They are out there doing something. And the other thing is there's some organization in there. That's what's getting the police because, see, they breaking in stores 25 miles away on the south in South County, too. And again, this is the thing about the technology. Y'all know all about those doggone what they call flash dash and all this stuff up here. Well, obviously, And I'm not, you know, I'm not privy to it, but what we all know is that youth always will have a way to invent or to come up with a solution to their problem if nobody gets out there and presents it to them. And this is why I'm saying when they sit there and call like Jesse and bottom feeders, the first thing I say is, well, shoot, we on the bottom, so what else are they going to be? You know, but that political plan needs to be, you know, there has to be something else going with it, with the promise of America, because the promise of America has a big problem that they don't want to recognize first is denial, white supremacy. It just denies that it's still here, and it's, you know, it didn't die out when the slave masters and the slaves died. They teach it every day. And the Internet brings all those old publications and all that stuff right on back. The young people, if y'all remember, I know they're doing it elsewhere because they done here in St. Louis. Remember, they was backing in, snatching and grabbing these hair pieces and all of this. You know, it's if you look at it as what's going on in the world, Hamas and the rest of them, why did Israel want to do them tunnels away? Because they was able to sustain an economy, you know. And without an economy, as Mama Pearl says, without money, you can't do nothing. Right. The United States has plenty of money to spread upon, you know, as allies and people who would work in their behalf. But when it comes to, you know, say like the first thing that Al Sharpton said when he got here, was said we're going to need resources. So that means every other local group and all that is going to have to forget about it while the national group come in and take all the money. And that's usually what always, you know, happened to the lawyers and the studies and all of this. And before you know it, the people on the street, you know, when they come up with little ways to finance or whatever they're going to do, the only way they can come up with them is illegal because it takes the laws, see? And it throws that takes another revolutionary or a person who's willing to do something out of the equation. So that's why we're asking, you know, I mean, for those who want to, because the Republic of New Africa, again, when we say the five states and all of that, I want to say this to the young people. Look at it this way. We're talking about getting sovereignty over an area where our area is looking at, say, like Kush, 15,000 contiguous square miles on both sides of the Mississippi River. You know, the people in Ukraine, eastern Ukraine, want a contiguous area. The people in the Palestinians, they don't want to be separated, the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. They state they wanted to be contiguous. You know, and all people are entitled to borders like that. The United States is from sea to sea, Atlantic to Pacific. So when we sit there and it's not the numbers per se, by winning the right to a sovereign, independent nation, do you know what sovereignty means? That means that the young people will be able to all of the resources that are already there, all of the infrastructure, all of the modern commercial, and we're not getting away from capitalism. We're just making more human for us to work. And they'll be the ones who will also, we're not going to tear down no telephone lines, or we're not going to cut no underground cable. Keep the communication going. Get a tariff for it. You won't have any problem with all the people that want to get in the United States as far as immigration. You could have people be breaking the door down when they find there's a free black country over there in the United States. Yeah. So the this is what they don't want the young black people to see. You offer with a Republic of New Africa, and it's a republic, just like Texas was a republic. You know, and they're going to call it Songhai. Whenever the battle is won and we have the plebiscite, the people can draw up a new constitution and name a new name if they want to. But you are in control. You deal government to government with the United States. you deal with the prison systems and the laws and the judges and the makings of the what's right, fair for your people. You. And this is what they is not been, I'm not going to say what they're going to do, but in my years of life and my parents' years of life, my grandfather's years of life, and my great-grandfathers who were freed by the 13th Amendment, it ain't happened yet. So, you know, the promise is still there, and the promise, I mean, the dream is still real, and it's just something that anything worth having is worth fighting for. So, I'm glad that they're out there doing something, but I just want them, you know, the thing is don't get put in a situation where they can take you out of the equation. We got too many brothers and sisters, you know, they changed the law on them drugs and that to be letting people out early and all of that since they locked them nonviolent offenders. But they lied. Mm-hmm. They made it a point to take our the people who got funds for the movement for us in the 70s and that. They made it a point to give them life plus an indeterminate number of years.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can keep them in there forever, you know. So those are the things that the young people need to look at, because there ain't no sense in making that mistake again. Yeah, as we say, I will give my life if that is necessary. I'll give my time, my mind, my strength, and my wealth because this is necessary. We don't need to have nobody else dying or locked up in prison because it takes them out of the equation of being able to correct the problem.
That's right.
All of us working. I mean, for those who want to go back to Africa or United States or Africa and all of that, especially with the birthday of Marcus Garvey coming up, then, you know, again, we can work. Garvey, and there was a world government that is going to be set up on Africa. You know, the United Republic of New Africa would represent what Haiti couldn't wind up. I mean, well, Haiti was the second independent republic in the Western Hemisphere. Republic of New Africa be the first black republic on the North American soil that the, National Security Advisor for Jimmy Carter back there, Brzezinski, that's what he wrote in 76, to prevent this from ever happening, a rise of a Republic of New Africa anywhere on North American soil. Well, why are they so scared of it? Because If you had it in their hands, the whole reason of slavery was take the competition away from the young, their youth, would have to compete, you know, and that's always been that as they want to call it a level playing field. It ain't the level playing field. They like Flash Gordon. They up there in the clouds and we down here. And you ain't gonna ever be when they can sit down there and shoot a ray. That's what it looks like to happen now with drones and everything else. And that was 1930 with Flash Gordon. But learn and use this time now before because one day you'll be the elder sitting there. Because you know we say victory in our lifetime, but since DNA, we know that our lifetime was in the past and in the future. So we don't know when, but it will be in, you know, some of our ancestors or children or other people's lifetime. As long as we keep the work going, get the information and the concept in front of our young people, you don't have to settle for this.
Okay.
You don't have to settle for this. Why do people who call themselves Americans want to succeed from the United States when they think that all of a sudden we got this little set up to where we're all the same group. Nobody calls them segregated. We got our own schools. We don't want y'all in here and all that. They say we want to take advantage of our own money. That's what Catalonia is saying over there in Spain. And the Basques are saying in Spain. They want to, you know, break it off. We want autonomy. That's what the Kurds are saying in northern Iraq. And they take the oil revenue and use it to better their own people. You know, they're not strong enough to be independent, but they've been fighting for it for the longest. And now the United States need them to fight against the ISIS people moving out of Syria. And so what happens there now, an ally with Iran. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of, you know, who your friend is today may be your enemy tomorrow. But we know one thing, white supremacy is your lifelong friend, enemy.
That's
and
right.
That's the one common enemy for all of us. It's hard for
that's
white
right.
people to own up to it because they're benefiting from white skin privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Although their numbers are going down, I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're benefiting from it in the world. Cause between the Chinese over a billion, the Indians over a billion, and the African continent over a billion. But little Western Europe and the United States, Western runs the whole world. Exception of Israel.
Mm.
So it's I know there's a lot of people that are not a lot, but the independence movement is still here, and it's just yearning for young people to take a look, at what the government, United States, keep always ignoring. When they talked about what's going on here in St. Louis, they named every organization from 1966 forward here in St. Louis, Urban League, NAACP, CORE, SNCC. They didn't name the Republic of New Africa, and they didn't name the Black Panther Party. You know, they never named the Republic of New Africa. Why? Because that was people wanting to be independent. They want to call them black separatists. We're not separatists. Anybody can live in a Republic of New Africa who wants to follow the laws. It's not based on your color.
Come on.
You know, and it's the propaganda that they feed our young people. It's up to our young people to figure way through all that crap and see where your destiny is and then go about trying to accomplish that destiny for yourself and for our race. There could be nothing better than more satisfying than being part of solving this 500-year-old blemish on a group of people who, you know, if it wasn't for, everything started from there. And I wouldn't even care if they wouldn't give us credit for us the fact of how they erased that fact and tell you that somehow you can't do it. You can be our managers, but you don't know how to run nothing on your own. And we buy into that.
Yeah.
I said enough.
Wow. So, President, your knowledge and your wisdom is just, you know, outstanding. Well, you got this political thing, the science down, you know, packed. You know, you've got that inherent wisdom and knowledge as well as, you know, the world knowledge and the book knowledge. And boy, we appreciate it so much because we're all sitting and listening and learning from you. And you're truly putting it out there right now, and we appreciate it. Brother Sun, did the brother post his question again?
Oh, yes, I have the question. And we most definitely got to have some questions since we have our elders in the house tonight. If we don't get a chance to sit down that often and speak with our elders and get their wisdom.
Do we have
like
any other phone calls? I'm sorry, because I was looking for another call.
We do have two from area code 9912. We have two calls, but no one has their hand up for the.
Okay, yeah. 215-313?
No.
Okay.
Just 912 had two calls from there. But like they just probably listen because they don't have their hands up for that one.
Right.
I've the family in the chat room, Sedan Rude, asked a question. Is it what was it like doing segregation, and were our professionals like our doctors and lawyers living in those communities doing segregation? What was it like doing segregation?
Well, to be truthful with you, I always say, you know, I didn't know that we were poor and it was in segregation until I actually got went away from a school, went off and studied to be in the seminary. 1944, when I was born at Homer G. Phillips, it was a black hospital. The first thing and only thing I saw was black. I went to the Curtis School, which was the black school. You know, the whites had a school down on St. Louis Avenue. And everybody, the teachers and everybody was black. Now, the neighborhood had white people who owned, like this, the shoe repair guy was a white guy because my mama used to buy our shoes there. We always had them repaired. You know, you didn't wear shoes out. You got new soles and heels. The butcher shop and all that was white and all of that. But they left at night. And I thought it was normal. We went to, we always went to the Regal, Roosevelt, and Criterion show. People from St. Louis know those in the 46, 47, 48, 49. Because we couldn't go into the show that's still standing now, like the Fox Theater and Grand Avenue here in St. Louis. They wouldn't let you in there. And so I thought that was normal until they put us in Catholic school in 53. And then that's when the Catholic school took us as a group in the summer, at the end of the year, in June every year, out to Holiday Park, which was out here in Spanish Lake. It was Chain of Rocks Park. And that's where, when we went out there, the little white kids and all that, we went to school with every day and all that and learned religion and all. That's when we met the public segregation. I couldn't go in the swimming pool. And that really got me, you know. And then we couldn't go into the show because we moved up on Grand Avenue, you know. And that's when I was really made aware of segregation. And it took really now 53, because I was in grade school when they put that under God into the Pledge of Allegiance. Before that, it wasn't in there. And believe me, it was a segregated school. And it didn't change any when they put under God in there. You know, so when they passed Brown versus Board, St. Louis didn't integrate. We didn't get in that swimming pool until 1956. They didn't open them shows up until 1956 and all that. When I got married, even in 66, they were still, you know, like on Delmore Avenue and all that, they would take the for rent signs out of the windows because they didn't want us to live in them. So we had everything, and the doctors and the professional people lived in the community because they had to. Mm-hmm. When they ended segregation, that's when the professionals left. And that's when, you know, by the time 1959, even old 15-year-old Alva could understand, you know, white folks was running from us. Even the black people ran. The teachers ran. They didn't want to teach in the school. The professionals left once they could get out of there. You know, the segregation and all that, living in the system as a young child, you know, it didn't even affect you as far as interracially, because even when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I went to Catholic school. The little white friends I went to school with, because, you know, they were the majority, we all played together on it. It didn't change until, like, you know, when my junior and senior year of high school, you know, white kids are writing in the yearbook that I still got, called me Alvin X and saved me a seat on the Freedom Bus. Once we got over 18 and graduated and you started competing for that greenback dollar, that's when your friends change. And that friendship that we had as far as, you know, youngsters and teenagers and that, because it's normal, children are children. You have, you know, I mean, there's no way that I'd be 70 years old if I didn't have friends and influence with white people.
Right.
They don't like what I say now, because now I'm telling you, you know, y'all showed y'all's hand. But while you were a kid, you can be, you know, you can see only the good and have fun and all of that, and you don't really see how the segregation is until you go, like, I went to Jeff City for the seminary, and they refused to serve me ice cream in the Dairy Queen. And the priest came on back down there and told Dairy Queen it's going to be bad for their business. They said, keep all your seminarians up there on that hill because we ain't serving that black boy.
Whoa.
For the kind of things that, you know, that's how you learn that lesson, you know. And then after you get to be, you know, you're told to go ahead and work the hardest and all of this stuff, and you don't see any, you can live anywhere you want to, Now, there's not segregation. The difference with segregation, it was the law. Didn't no white kids go to that school with us. Didn't no white kids go to them churches with us. They did the businesses, but, you know, even Pruitt-Igoe, the housing project started off to be for, the war workers, the veterans, and the post office, because 48 Truman integrated the service. That's the first form of liberalism that came along, so they was trying to appease a few. But as a whole, they kept us, and that's what they've done right now to this day, because when they wanted, as they have doing all over the country, they've taken back the inner cities as far as regentrification, mm-hmm. bringing the young whites, college mm-hmm. students, and the rest of them in, young families, improving the school districts with charter schools instead of the public schools that mm-hmm. offered blacks a job, at least, when it was segregated, because the whites didn't want to come down there and teach. Then when they desegregated, the whites didn't want the black teachers coming out there and teaching them. You know, we had corporal punishment in school under segregation. I got plenty of whoopings from the principal. But when they started being, it was integrated, no more segregated school, they couldn't have black teachers whooping white kids. So the difference, segregation was the law. And you really didn't have any say in it. If you went against it, you paid the price. As a youngster, I didn't see any difference until, I came of age when they started ending all of this. Again, I was a teenager and turned 21 in 1965. 64, they drafted. I couldn't vote, but Johnson drafted my butt January 1st of 65. I wanted to send everybody over to Vietnam. Because what? I had a job. I was going to two colleges. I wanted to be a court reporter, and I was going to junior college. I was living at home with my mother, had a car with my brothers and sisters, but I was single. And any young black male, 20 years old, single, Uncle Sam wants you. Put you in a uniform, I don't see any, when people say, well, if I live in a Republican New Africa, you're going back to segregation. We didn't have no choice of where we lived under segregation. White people didn't have no choice under segregation. It was the law. And it was segregated in every form and fashion. You couldn't go downtown and, I still wear hats. You couldn't put a hat on. If you put it on, you better walk out of there, pay that man the money, because the show wasn't going to take it back. Couldn't sit, y'all seen nothing about not sitting down at the lunch counter. We just went to the places in the neighborhood. So, we weren't aware of the greater deal, but, so the segregation now is economic segregation. When they hold you back from being able to economically provide for your family and invest and give them the little things that they want, because remember, things were cheaper back then. I had a quarter. I could go to the show and see a movie and everything else. You got a quarter now. All you can do is look at it, the times were different, but it was the same. And it's a matter of choice. And the crime, we had crime. They talk about things that change and all this. Yeah, women that were raped. I remember this girl coming home after 11 o'clock and got raped. My father told my older sister, you ain't staying out late, all of this. We didn't have as many, I didn't think, shootings, but that was only because we didn't have we only had one television station when we got in TV in 1953, so you didn't know what was going on, So I don't really see segregation itself was an institution that they ended that, but now let's go with the next step. That was a stepping stone into victory. Ending, segregation and stuff like that. But that didn't bring you to the fact of respecting human rights. And that's the challenge of y'all now, the young generation. And you're going to have to show them that you can do just as well as they can, because their mentality and culture says that we're supposed to be, God gave the white man this burden. And until the guy comes down and tell them that Negro's not your burden any longer, they're going to always see it that way. You got a shoulder. I don't need you. I can do just as well as you. That's why you're committing suicide and all that when you get out here getting 19 and 20. And I can't beat these black guys in anything when I compete. So let me go out and kill 30 people in a show. And
right.
they can't figure out why they do it. It's because the dream that they've been taught is fuzzy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is for the betterment of the whole world. By standing up as a race or a group, Israel is not for every Jewish person in the world, but it's a state for all Jews who want to come there and live. You can hold citizenship in it and live in Timbuktu or New York City, but you're a citizen of that independent state, of that nation state. That's what we want young people to see, is their potential by international law, with the fact of ratifying, making them live up to what the Congress gave the power and the money to do in the 13th Amendment to make us whole, and then let us decide where we're going to live instead of imposing citizenship on us, because then we're not free. That's why they got to keep rewriting the Voting Rights Act and all that, because you ain't free. We haven't been given that choice. There's not a citizen that comes to this country today where they don't have to sit down and study and all that and then make a pledge, and they do it on the 4th of July and all of that. And they got 11 million people or more that they say are illegal. Well, just think of that. All of us we weren't illegal because we were imported, not immigrants, imported. So as property. So give us our right as humans to decide.
They will. Wow, that, Sir President, all that just, that was so profound, you know, and that truly just opened up for me the privileges that you all and the opportunity that you all have built for the young people, and you're absolutely correct. That's why they started that ghetto informant program to disperse the youth, because they knew that the youth would come up, you know, with, you know, the solution and some creative and viable, you know, ideas, because we are the creators.
It happens all the time in every group. The young people solve that problem. That's a universal thing, and they know it. Their young people solve their problems, Gates and all the rest of them. Who is it, Zuckerberg and all the rest of them. That's because somebody give them the venture capital so that they can expand their dreams. You give a young black person a tool and all the time to figure it out and to do whatever they want to with it, and it's been proven over and over again how they will amaze you. And the people shouldn't be amazed, because humans, we just human just like everybody else, and we have that creative genius as a people. You know, I think our biggest thing probably is the fact that we're just too good-hearted. We're too trusting.
That's it. You're absolutely correct. We're benevolent by nature.
You don't want to really change your nature. You know, but there are times you can have flashbacks, I guess.
right. Well, I mean, we're still benevolent. We just have to learn how to get that, you know, that defensive force. Like, you know, we were the creator. Everything, we've created it. You know, they've stolen all of our heritage, our legacy, our creativity, you know, and they insult themselves. How can you put yourself in someone else's story? I mean, but that just goes to show, you know, the insaneness that they have. There's no pride, you know, there's no shame, you know, in these, I don't even know if you can call them people, in these beings to do something like that. You know, but again, wow, what an opportunity for our young black brothers and sisters to come in here, get up off the street, you know, stop fighting with the rocks and fight with the pen and the pad, which is, when you put it down in pen and ink, that's permanent. That's permanent. You know, and you're absolutely correct, sir. This is a great opportunity. The young people should be flooding in here, all the gangbangers, all the gangsters, all the, you know, the dopers, all the hip-hoppers, all of you, come on. This is for you. You know, let's change it. Let's be the cultural people that we are, you know, and make this government work for us. You know, you can travel back and forth across the land, but it feels good to know that we have our own nation. We're the only people who don't have a nation, a land of our own, you know, and that was written too. And it's also written that all these things are going to be, it's already been given to us. And what I was trying to say all that to say, is to whom much is given, much is required. We were already given everything. So now it is required of us, you know, is incumbent and behoove us to get it back, to defend ourselves. We've done everything but defend ourselves. We have not truly. We've got these awesome revolutionaries and freedom fighters who fought, but for the masses of us, we hadn't defend ourselves in any kind of way. We don't fight that. We just say, okay, yes, sir, master. Oh, we can't do that. Okay, yes, sir, master. Oh, you want me to turn left? Okay, yes, sir, master. You know, and we're the only ones who hadn't defended ourselves, you know. And, man, and President, I just want to thank you. I mean.
Oh, yeah, I want to let the brother know from the chat room, Mr. President, we call him Mr. President. They call the other guy Mr. President. I ain't going to even say his name. But I'm going to say Mr. President tonight on the line with President Alvin, Mr. Brown. The brother that in the chat room, Sedan Rule, I think brother, and Sedan Rule said, thank you for your live words. Thank you for that wisdom that you gave about segregation. Yeah, you gave us a history lesson today, so we appreciate that. Yeah.
I was telling to anybody, and I'm just appreciative of the opportunity that's presented by this show to be able to speak. And our people have, let's look at, even though they killed over 2,000 Palestinians, there's still over 1.6 million that's still there, and they suffering the same way. When we had the rebellions in the 60s, because my relatives live up in Detroit too, the ones that didn't stop in St. Louis from Mississippi went on up to Detroit. They were mad at the young brothers and sisters who burned everything down in the sign of, rebellion and all that, saying the people have to get along and all that. The point was that they got to a point that you don't really want to. We've been there before. We know what's happening in Palestine and the rest of all the places. When the whole, if you bring in the, make the suffering world group wide, as Malcolm said to the civil rights leader, I'll make it bad for all of us. You know, I mean, that's the one of their little tools where they hold out something where somebody who's really got a little bit, they ain't got nothing, but they got some little position, they can say, well, be calm and be peaceful and be patient. And see, then they show you what the price is, because this devil is a master killer. You can look at history and see they have no problem wiping out people. They can't tell the Israel not to bomb or use missiles on the Palestinians. They dropped two bombs on the doggone Japanese. 1945. When I was born, people was dying left and right. Two atomic bombs on them. The British and the French can't say too much, because in World War II, 44, 45, they just destroyed Germany, all the major cities, they just blew them up completely. So, it's like the pot calling the skillet black. Well, you can't say nothing, you did it. And they won't hesitate, if you look at history, at the number of millions of people that's killed. We don't want to resort to that. But there comes a point somewhere, and I don't think we're at it yet, obviously, because in my opinion, it's going to be the young people that's going to say enough is enough. Sure, yeah. I took it for 70 years, still mad. That's what gets me. Now, look, you youngsters, y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to change. You're going to wind up and be like me, just mad.
Yeah.
What about that white supremacist out there that they just killed somebody a couple of months back? because he was getting old and he wanted to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
see, and time getting away and all that. Well, I got to make a statement and all of that, you know.
Right. And I know you must be, you know, even heavier angry, Sir President, because you are aware that, you know, the Republic of New Africa is here waiting for our young people. You know, there is an option, you know, so I know, you know, and you've been patient and you've been waiting, you know, and you've been, you know, screaming out and you've been waiting and all of our elders have been waiting. And I was looking for Baba Khaled to come on because, you know, I asked him to, you know, be like granddaddy and just sit in the back and just listen to whatever he wanted to come in and say. And he's tired. He's been waiting. Everybody's waiting for our young people. I'm the Minister of Youth. I'm calling. I'm pulling you out. You know what I mean? If we're going to swing, I'm going to swing with you. We all going to swing with you. You know, but we have to have you all. You got to come on in here and make this machine work because it's for you. You know, and you've got the mind, you've got the intellect. Let's get it done. You also have the capital. The young people are the ones who got all the money. Like I say, you know, I see these young people with big wads in their pockets, you know, from doing these shows and these clubs and this and this that. You know, let's put this money, let's keep this money circulating back in our nation and our community. You know, this is what makes us grow. Because we don't give our money a chance to even circulate in our community. As soon as we get paid, we go and take it right back to who? The Iraqis, the Chinese, the white man, and what they do. Take it right out of our community and put it in their community. Our money only is circulated in our community, what, maybe not even half an hour, probably. You know, because as soon as we get our money, we got to pay these bills.
Well, see, that's because we don't control. And as the brother said before earlier about boycott, you know, the Montgomery boycott, they decided they was going to boycott economically one infrastructure. The community has to be in numbers and in control to be able to exercise and all stick together on that and exercise the economic control and will, because we don't print the money. We don't hire the people and all that. We don't. We by the time we pay for the services, as you talk about water up there in Detroit, yeah, their water was cut off. They cut the water off for people who didn't pay their bill, and they can always use that as an excuse for cutting people's water off because ain't nothing free. But the people who got cut off, the same thing happened here. When the water and the sewer bill are combined, and they did it in Jackson, Mississippi. Shockway introduced the legislation that tripled the water bill. That's why those cats was fighting to replace him when he got killed. So the poor people on there, they accepted it because they said Shockway and them had told them that we're going to take this money from this tax increase and do infrastructure and that and hire our own people. Now, will that happen with whoever the new mayor is? But that's the thing about when you say community and control. And that's why I'll say to the young people, you got to push the Republic of New Africa because they got to have a visible example of what they're saying. The Vatican is six blocks. If we just had, even if you just had six blocks, and then you let all of the rappers or the musicians or artists or the entrepreneurs and all that, you let them incorporate in your new state. You know, you got, what is it? I saw a cartoon the other day in the paper, the Wall Street Journal. White guy said, I finally reached the American dream. I got all my assets offshore. They do everything to avoid paying taxes. Well, you wouldn't have to pay taxes if you was registered in the Republic of New Africa. So you see all the potential that's there. And the final thing I'm going to say is that, as I said, I was 45 years old when I got conscious. In 1968, And 1971, when the shootout was happening, I was concerned about keeping that good job that had a company car, that I was taking care of my family, wore a suit and tie, and ate buku crow, you know, until I finally got 35, 36, 30. That's when they throw you right back to the old stuff. And, you know, the guy had told me, all you got to do, one of these priests, just keep working hard, you know. And then now they're going to say, well, maybe you ought to realize you can't be everything that you know you feel you should be. But by then, you know, And that's when I started looking around, and that's why I'm saying them elders were still around. I had questions, so I started finding them and got the answers why they were still here, because when the stuff was happening in 66, 67, 68, 69 here in St. Louis, I was here. I was a young man, and just like I rode down the street, shotguns too, but I wasn't in any organized movement. And I thought the Republic of New Africa had disappeared after 1971.
Yeah.
But when I found out it was still here, that's when I said, then now it's time for me to move. So it doesn't make, you know, I mean, whenever you find out that, you know, your legacy is still here. The legacy of slavery is ours. The legacy is the richness of from the to build this country into what it is, and we want our ancestors share, and we want to prove to the world that if they had a, you know, Africa wouldn't be underdeveloped if they hadn't took so many of them away, and America wouldn't be so developed if they hadn't brought them over here and turned it into an economic powerhouse. Thank you, Mama Pearl, for the opportunity this evening.
Well, we thank you, sir. We thank you so much, you know, and wow. I am so glad that I'm a New African, you know, and I'm a citizen of the Republic of New Africa. I am so glad, you know, because, you know, I had heard about the Republic of New Africa in 71 and 72, you know, because I was reading about what was going on in the Jet magazine, but unfortunately in 72, at 16, you know, I was a child. I was pregnant at 16, you know, and, you know, I had to deal with these things. And I kind of, you know, again, the Most High, you know, I just went on the ground and I took care of my son. And I thought the Republic of New Africa had disappeared. In fact, it just went blank out of my mind. And I hadn't heard that name again until 2011 when I was at the UNIA convention. And I'm like, the Republic of New Africa, free land, that sounds kind of familiar. Where did I hear that from? You know, and I met, you know, the brother, you know, my God sent Major Hamid, who really introduced me and brought me into the fold, you know, and introduced me to all you all the great elders. And, boy, I'm like, wow, you know, I am thrilled. This is like me. It's like breathing. This is something that I was missing. Because I was born, I was one of the ones who was born awake in 1956. You know, I was saying you truly got me a history, you know, because it replaces a lot of things that I was missing. Still some things I'm trying to build up, because I know that I was born in 1956, wide awake, and encoded to wake up for this time right now, you know, to run with our babies, so that we can become free and independent and get all this lie and BS and all this spell off of us. Because I've seen enough in the Jim Crow days. I am one where my grandparents and great-grandparents were products of slaves. They were slaves. My parents were sharecroppers, you know, and I got to see all that, and I got to see all the ugly racism and prejudice and the abuse and just disgusting, just disgusting. Despicable, no account for us at all, you know, and I'm just glad we're here right now at this time where we have some strong, wise young people who are not afraid and they're ready, you know, to fight back, you know, and we just want to encourage you all to come on, let's fight the right way. We don't want, you know, anyone, you know, to be killed or being locked in jail where they can't do anything. So we need you here, although we do know that there's a strong, you know, New African political pipeline in the prison, you know, and there is a lot of work being done in the prison, waking our brothers and sisters up in the prisons as well, but they're not on the street. Their freedom has been taken away, and we don't want that anymore. We want all of our brothers and sisters up out of that prison industrial complex. You know, so we need you all to come in and help us to get all of our brothers and sisters who have built this thing up out of that prison industrial complex. You know, and then they say that there is no prisoners of war, you know, and no, there's no political prisoners. But that's what we have. That's what you have, our brothers and sisters. They're prisoners of war and political prisoners. And if there is not a war, then why is the United States constantly flying that red, white, and blue flag, which is a war flag? That's a war flag, especially with the gold trimmings on it. That's a war flag. Who the hell are they at war at in our country? Us. Us. And the only way we're going to get up from under it is to come in and show these crackers that we have enough intellect to govern ourselves as we are supposed to, our God-given right to govern our own selves.
And that's why the young people need to jump on now, because we're trying to get it right as we move towards independence. It's going to be, it is a struggle. As all people know, young people, you don't get old by not making mistakes. The biggest thing about making a mistake is not learning from it. But there's always two ways to learn. You know, so the opportunity is there for you to actually to get into the they won't, just like I said, I haven't been called as a voter, although I've been a registered voter ever since I've been out here. I don't vote ever since I became PCC chair, and I swore my sole allegiance to the Republic of New Africa. I believe in not being a hypocrite. I don't really believe that the political system is going to benefit us. I'm not telling anybody not to fight for it if you feel that way, but don't tell me to fight for that when I feel that that's useless right there. I'll help you if you help me. We got a common interest. We want this devil to pay for what they've done to our people. I don't hate white people. I hate what white supremacy has done to our people and continues to get all the other races to see us in that way so that they continue to enjoy their white skin privilege. They wouldn't, if it wasn't a privilege to it, they wouldn't be reporting on the fact that they're no longer a majority in the public school systems in the United States, and that they won't be a majority in the United States and all of that kind of stuff. If it wasn't important, they wouldn't be saying it. And that's the main thing that they have to give up is the white skin privilege. You can give that up by letting us go ahead and having our own doggone independent nation state over here. We compete with you. We trade with you, you know.
Right.
Trade with the new Africans to stay here, too. I mean, hey, we just want to control our own destiny, just like they control theirs. We don't need to be their wards, as they, or their burden, as the doctrine says.
That's right. And it's kind of like, I mean, I just love my, some president I've met some real melanated, you know, the black skin Indians. And I am like, oh my God, you guys do this? Oh my word. You know, so, you know, they're here. You know, they're coming back and, you know, they want to sit down and they want to meet with, you know, the Republic of New Africa. You know, I have to let them know, hey, we know that you all are the original indigenous people, you know, and we want to, you know, work, you know, with you all because, you know, we want a piece of this here land too. I mean, we built it up, you know, but you all was here and we respect that so we can live and let's join forces and get our land back.
Right.
You know, and, so hopefully they'll be coming on, you know, the show soon, and they certainly want to, you know, talk with, you know, the president, you know, so I did tell them, you know, some of them, you know, that I will, you know, be liaison for that, you know, coordinate, you know, that time, and I'll let you know, when that's all is going to happen, so.
Okay, well. The whole thing again, you know, there's a thing there. We all have a common enemy and goal. The indigenous people has been written from the start that we would definitely negotiate since they were the original owners of the land. You know, I mean, the Uhuru Party had a disagreement with the Republic of New Africa on that and with NAPO on that. We have never said that we were going to, whatever land we take back from the United States rule, that we would then just forget about the rights of the indigenous people. We negotiate with them, too. And they're entitled to reparations. You see that how the United States split them by the 1832 treaty, who was free and who was a slave. And when they paid that $50 million, they had them fighting. On my mother's side, Robert Penny was my grandfather on my mother's side. And he was born in St. Charles on a plantation here in St. Charles, Missouri. St. Charles was known back in 1874, where my grandfather was born, as Little Dixie. They had just as many plantations on the Missouri River up here in St. Charles as they had down in New Orleans. My grandfather, was mostly Indian because, my mama, as I remember, we was over there in Durban, South Africa, when this Australian woman commented on Miss Porter from Chicago, light-skinned woman, and was 82 years old. And the Australian woman said, she was sitting there naming who we look like, you Igbo, you this, you that, and all of that. And then she said to Miss Porter, and your skin is so pretty. And Miss Porter said, it's polluted. The white girl's mouth almost fell on the floor. She says, I don't have my pretty black skin no more. It's been polluted by European blood, And because she was 82 years old, it wasn't something that the young white girl wasn't expecting. The credit I give the white girl is that she sat right down at that table and listened to us, and she was outnumbered. And that's something I found in the international community. When you go sit down there and talk with them, and they will say, well, you don't know what your history is. You don't know who – you can't get past your great-grandfather or anything like that. How can you really be a people and all of that? You have to find that out. When we told them our problem, they listened, and they said that they'd join in with us. I got a guy on the corner right here. He's probably, I don't know, he might be listening to your show right now. He's my mechanic. And you know what, technology, the way it is, he brought my car back to me the other day after it had that blowout tire and brought it home. And he comes saying, I hope you don't mind, he said, because his wife is, she does the computer work down there at the service station. He said, I took the time. I looked you up on the internet. He said, you're a really interesting person. And he says, once, if you sit there and listen and get past being mad and read and look into what you guys are asking for, that it makes sense. And you know what? I'd work with you to try to help you out, too. So it's just, if you get that from two people, you can throw one of them out the window because they'll tell you that good stuff all the time. But the point being that there are people who realize, there was John Brown. There are people out there who, can see the rationale that they have a human heart. And what has happened to us as a people, the main reason why we don't have more allies is because they say, well, you guys ain't complaining about it.
That's right. And I just want to clarify, that the word cracker, because even coming up when we were children, cracker to me always meant the white supremacist. That's a cracker. So I just wanted to just clarify that,
there's been names. We can go back and forth. They can call any name they call us. We can call them one. I can remember when Shokwe said after getting fined for the fifth time in Mississippi court, he says, I don't use that word that much anymore, because first time he said it up here in St. Louis, he said cracker. He says, it look like it, white, brittle, salty. If you read during the time of slavery and that, cracker, there was definition, just like they called us coons and all the rest of us. As Marcus Garvey's biggest lament was that they had that song at the time, every nation has a flag except the coon. That was a national song in this country in 1917, 1918. So the names and all that. The biggest thing is that y'all put in a system of white supremacy, and then you just set up there and said, okay, we're gonna end the way with holding people in bondage. But they didn't. The white supremacy was ingrained in the culture, because of the fact that they forbade us from being able to hold patents and all the other stuff. You couldn't patent anything. The man, how do we know Eli Whitney didn't have a slave to invent the sucker or all the things that were invented? White man come up with it, but the white man could do the patent. When you talk about, the brother said about segregation, I look at segregation from the standpoint of baseball, because they wouldn't let us, St. Louis, I'm not a Cardinal fan, because they wouldn't let us into the ballpark, and I lived down the street from it. And they sent my mother's mother home on Ladies' Day, because they wouldn't let them in the stands. I never say that Stan Musial or any of the players are in the Hall of Fame. Well, that great, because they restricted a whole group of people from playing. Hmm. And they played them in the summertime when it was off the record. So if you don't play against the best talent, how can you claim to be the best? That's what, most of the major sports until you got into the 60s, are, because I can remember the first – a few blacks that they had in the NFL. And St. Louis, you in Atlanta, the Hawks were here first. And the year that they won the NBA, lost to the Boston Celtics in 1957 or 58, they didn't draft Bill Russell. They traded him to Boston. They had five white boys. In 1967 or 68, when they were the division champs, they had five black starters. St. Louis wouldn't come and support that team. That's why they moved to Atlanta and became the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow.
The Baltimore Orioles were the St. Louis Browns in 1953, the American League team here. In 52, when my little brother was born, they offered a contract to all the babies born in August to play with the Browns. The Browns had more supporters than the Cardinals there because they let black people come in to the stadium. And to get them out of the competition, because the Cardinals took over the stadium that the Browns played in, they moved to Baltimore and became the Orioles. The football Cardinals are the same way. Why are they out there in Arizona? They came from Chicago down here to St. Louis in 1960 as St. Louis Cardinals. They had football and baseball Cardinals. As long as they had John David Crow and all these other white stars, people flocked to the stadium. When they got the one team that won the division title finally in 78, they had Terry the Burler Metcalf and J.V. Kane and all these brothers out there. For some odd reason, the white people didn't want to support them. And Mr. Bidwell, who still owns them, moved his team to Phoenix because he can get a new stadium. The white people weren't going to pay for a new stadium for black people to play in. Yeah. And that's when, from that point in the 60s and that's when the demographics in this area really changed because, St. Louis went from 800,000 people on down to 400,000 and really 300 and some odd thousand, the city as it is today, because all the white people ran. And they made the surrounding counties, increase their populations. And then they fled from the counties, like Ferguson, and you see what happens left. And again, because even in Ferguson, the thing is you're not even politically connected there so you can do anything. For the group of people, and I'm not going to say anything because I say the same thing to the citizens of the Republic of New Africa. If you're not supporting your government, how can you expect your government to do anything for you or be any good?
Right.
And, they got the majority numbers out there here in Ferguson. I was surprised when they said the number of registered voters, people over 18 who are registered to vote, 15,000, You know, but we just had the primary, what was it, two Tuesdays ago, and only 1,500 people voted. That's, you know, I mean, there's a reason for that, and the reason ain't benefiting the black people that are there. But it's an old story, and who stays in there? The whites who are already in office, you know.
Right. And
you get what you got right now today. So, again, over and over, it's not the thing that people want to hear who want to answer right now.
Right.
But ever since the day the slavery ends, and you can look up all kind of documents, Freedmen's View and all of that, black people have clawed for land and independence. They told Sherman that. They told the presidents that. They put it out. The Republic of New Africa had an Article 3 briefs that came out in 1976 that was the ruling showing why we're a nation. And the fact that in the whole trial that was presented, the judges and all tried to refuse to let the political end come in, just like they did with Mumia Abu-Jamal. They always going to say it was just a criminal act and never wanted to put in that we're at war, and this was warfare. And he brought it all the way from the slave forward and the representation and all of that. And that the fact that if you're going to say that people are now free from chattel slavery and then make them citizens, you're right back at war. But they can sit there and say, well, no, this is just violence, and their courts have done that repeatedly and repeatedly. That's why I don't see any, I don't personally see any hope in them getting any justice out of this thing right here. Oh, yeah, they'll throw one of them white boys up as a scapegoat and then let him off after 4 years or something like that.
Right.
And pay somebody $1 million or something like that. But the next month there'll be another young black male or female killed.
Right. Because they're all Ku Klux Klans. You know, they took off their sheets and the law enforcement, you know, and the judicial system and the school system and the hospital system. You know, I mean, we have to realize that these same devils who came at night, these cowards, hanging and killing and murdering, you know, cutting over women's stomachs and stomping over the baby's head, these are the same devils. They care nothing about you. They care nothing about, they're to the point now, man, you know, I heard something about a young black woman got killed because she was nursing her baby, and the cop told her to stop it, and she didn't do it. So, I mean, she was killed. Something happened, she got killed because she didn't, and this was not long ago, you know. I mean, we have got to, my people. We have got to govern ourselves. And like I say, the oldest document that has been written said this is not a war against flesh and blood, but a war against principalities, evil, wicked principalities in high, dark places. And the government is a principality, and the high dark places is the wicked, corrupt mind. And we know that they all come together in these state of unions. And this is one thing that I've always admired about the white man. You know, and I knew this even as a child. I said I admire the white man because of his ability to stick to it. When he come up with an idea, he going to stick to it. He going to make sure that his children and his children's children, and they work it, and they do not leave. That's called the principle that they initiated, and they make sure that everybody follows that principle. But they got us all screwed up that we forget our principle, and our principle, our main one right now, is to govern ourselves so that our children can be independent. If we can't have that independence, we can make sure that our children have that independence.
I don't have that, but be able to have the resources to keep it, you know, I mean, because you can get independent, or like the newest nation state, the Republic of South Sudan, and being independent is just the beginning. They still can't. Their oil production, that's the only thing that they have, but they do have that. They got all the oil in Sudan, but they can't stop fighting so that they can produce and ship the stuff out to make and provide services for the citizens, because they got somebody at the top who's been influenced by Western ways and saying, well, you know, we do just like they do over in the United States. And the young people, I'm going to say this, you've lived at a time here where you've got to see a black president. 8 years, two terms. It ain't 8 years yet, but two terms. Barack Obama is and was elected the president of the United States. My mother was so glad to see that. But as what you have seen, young black people, young New Africans, is the fact that white people cannot accept Negro rule. It happened at the end of at the end of the Civil War, Reconstruction. They blamed everything that went wrong on the Negroes who were in government. Tell me they ain't sitting up and doing that right now. You got the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, and them cats saying that the President of the United States is out of contact. We just ignore him. Going in the back door and getting weapons straight from the U.S. military and avoiding going through the Commander-in-Chief. Won't even listen to him. The Congress sits up the Republicans, won't pass legislation. I don't care what y'all say. They won't pass it because there's a black guy in charge. And then everything that goes wrong or whatever else, they blame it on him. You've had over 6 years of sin. You come up and come up with a plan as far as for everybody to have health coverage, something that Cuba and all those, but Cuba, but also Sweden and socialist countries have universal medical care. There's no shame in that. Also, we're going to make sure people don't have to go sit 2 weeks and wait in the emergency room to get a toenail clip. We're going to make everybody have insurance. They make everybody have automobile insurance. So what's the difference on this? Oh, well, the rich cats who are the doctors and the hospitals and all the stuff, they won't make no money. We can't have that happen. So we got to stand against this doggone social program, that Obamaism and the call of a program Obamacare, when they didn't call Social Security or unemployment the Roosevelt plan or anything. That came in under Roosevelt. Medicare and all that came under the Great Society under Johnson. They didn't call it the Johnson plan, they called it the Great Society. But when it comes to the black president, he got everything negative. And he took the high road. I'll tell you in a minute, in my opinion. He took the high road because he knew that he couldn't piss everybody off. And now they want to try to sue him because a black man is doing what he was elected to do. I'm supposed to implement the law. Oh, well, you guys ain't doing nothing, but I'm supposed to implement the law. Well, there's a black guy doing what he's supposed to be doing. We got to sue him. We got to take him to court and blame all. The economy ain't going nowhere because we ain't passed no bills. Unemployment, we won't force employers to hire nobody. We won't nominate or approve the judges and all of that they need so that they can speed up immigration and all the other slow systems, bureaucratic systems working in this country. And once he's out, then the next 100 years would be, well, we had one. We had one. That's what y'all going to hear, because I ain't going to live another 100 years. That's what you're going to hear for the next 100 years. We had one. And look what the nigga did. Excuse my friend.
Excuse your English. That's English, sir.
Negro, Negre there. I learned
there
French.
You I keep telling people stop blaming the French for stuff they ain't having to do with, like these, cuss words. You say, excuse my French. No, that's English. That's that bastard language. Don't blame it on the French. We got enough to blame them for, but not that one.
Oh, no. They gave us the Statue of Liberty, then sat up there and let Thomas Jefferson and all them cats renege on their word. You know, everybody speaks of the great French Revolution, you know, but yet and still they don't see, you know, they chastised Mr. Jefferson for not freeing any of his own after writing that all men are created equal and all of that stuff and not living by what they say. And that guy de Tocqueville came here and saw all the stuff that was happening, 1840, 1850, the French and all of that. They admired the Americans. And to this very day, you know, the French and the Americans don't get along on, you know, the fact that the French are the biggest right now. Say, we can't blame that on. You're right. But who's the biggest colonial power fighting right now in Africa? The French and Mali and all the rest of the places fighting the Islamic movement in Mali, Chad, and, you know, Darfur, the rest of the places like that. Because the French, those are still their colonies, and they wanted to stay in there as far as keep their influence going. That's why they have problems in there in Paris. You know, the slums are surround the metropole, the Paris, and that's where all the immigrants that the French, they offered to all of their former colonies, you can come to France and be a French citizen, you know, like they told Toussaint. You know, y'all can be French citizens. Toussaint, we don't want to be French. We want to be independent. They tricked him into going to France, and that's where he died in jail. So, no, I can't blame him for certain things, but they all still part of the Western power that agrees on one thing. They don't care who rules, just as long as they rule. It could be German. It could be French. It could be British. It could be Dutch. It could be USA, as long as they rule. It could even be Russian. You know, because all of them Europeans were cousins. The Tsar of Russia, the guy killed, was a cousin of the doggone British family, crown, just like the Germans and the Austrians were cousins. The Archduke and all of them, they were first and second cousins and third cousins of the rulers of the Tsar of Russia and King George V and all of them. You know, and the French ruler, you know, they were married to, in the family and all that. So they have a common, they do have a common policy, and they do stick to it, and that's their whole thing. You know, they drew up a plan, and this is what they said they're going to stick to. Now, we got to also realize that their plan of enlightenment has only been around, you know, for, they came out of this stuff at the turn of the second millennium, and then by the 14th, the 15th century, they had tricked or taken advantage of an ancient trade of captives from warfare and turned it into an enterprise in human bondage to be able to not only to capture the resources of a country that they just developed, but then had the manpower and all that to clear it, work it, and clear it of natives and all the other stuff. And in competition as far as against them. And they agreed then. It was at the treaty of, is it 1683 or something like that, where they agreed they weren't going to fight among Europeans anymore. You know? Yeah, they do stick. All the things that they do ain't bad. We need to look at them and, you know, I mean, what we have in common, then let's just stick together. You know, we don't all want to be new Africans, or we don't all want to be Americans. We all don't want to be Africans on the continent, but we all want to be free and independent, and we all want to be free of the white oppression that we've suffered for the last 500 years at least. And the only way it's going to change is that we have to take the action in our hands and move forward. I saw a picture, and I'm going to quit talking about it. I saw a picture in yesterday's paper. The Russians were sending what they called humanitarian supplies to the Russian rebels fighting in eastern Ukraine. They had an Orthodox priest out there blessing the fleet, the trucks and the vehicles that was going. They don't sit there and pray for divine help. They pray that the divine help will make them victorious.
That's right.
And I'm going to get out and do it. Just help me be victorious.
That's it. Because they know you know, they know the secret about the creator of all creators, you know, and creation, you know, that he don't care about these bodies. You know, I said this on Brother's Son show not long ago. People keep saying, why don't God come down and help us? God, he's only concerned about your souls, not your bodies. If all souls go back to the creator, and he's giving you the ability to create and be like, you know, the creator, why is he going to come and stop your bodies when he's giving you the discernment and all of the abilities to be and do what things that he has done?
That's,
you know,
right.
So they, you know, and they know that. And but something that we don't know, that we are the God that we have, that we're waiting on to come save us, is us.
Well, you know, I think my wife asked me about that the other day, and I keep trying to tell her. I say, you know, I guess you forgot that the story about Jesus on the cross. You know, the guy on his right looked over there at Jesus and said, wait a minute, if you're the Son of God, why don't he come down and save you or take you off this cross? Jesus died on that cross, so they said. God didn't come down to save Jesus. Why do you think it's going to be any different? Don't call me no blasphemous. Look it up. The guy on the right side, he was in between two crooks, as they say.
That's right.
The guy on the right said, if you're the Son of God, why doesn't God come down here and save you?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You know. Hey man, we got to do for ourselves. We the guys, and I say to whom much is given, much is required. It was all given to us, so it's now it's a requirement that we, you know, recoup it back and keep it. You know, so her president. Wow, I mean, it is nearly what it's time to something. Oh my gosh, the president, you were awesome. You stayed online with us for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have to. My old bladder is calling me that I'm gonna have to get off the phone here. I hope to come back. Is this every? I'm not gonna be here
every
Thursday.
Any time. This is your home, sir. We're here. I'm here every Thursday at 8 o'clock, and you know where I am. You are always in the house.
Like I said, I really appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate just the opportunity to listen. I actually honed my teeth on talk radio back in the late 80s. That my daddy used to listen to the local guy here. And that's how I wound up out there, stopped the crack. We went our neighborhood back and all that. From the fact of people expressing themselves first on talk radio and then getting out there and getting involved in the streets. So I appreciate this media. That's how, again, like I said, whatever way that you can hear from the, well, I am in that group now. I'm an older person. And like I said, I gladly, there's plenty of other positions to serve in the Republic of New Africa. Until we win independence, I'm not sitting down for anything. But we could have a younger guy. I'm the oldest president right now as far as the Republic of New Africa. Now, there are presidents in the world that are 70 years old and all that. But this Republic has never had a president. Imari Obadeli was 41, 42, and then by the time that he, even when his term ended in 1990, you know, he was still only 60. You know, and no other president has come up any far. Robert Williams, the first president, was in his late 40s and 50s, you know, was not, you know, 60, 70 years old. And Mama Dora was, Abu Bakr was old, but that, she was president from 78. Now, she may have been, no, because that's still 20 more years. She was in her 60s, too. What I'm saying to you young people, the situation is yours. The energy and the young generation listens. And they argue and dispute. But they can more easily relate to what's coming out of a younger person's mouth versus an older person from the standpoint of, I've been young too. You know, well, that old man ain't going to tell me nothing. And, you know, and nothing worse than I always thought of an old man who come up to me and tell me, now, son, I drank wine, I smoked dope, I chased women, I did all these things, I was a heathen, but now don't you do it. Wait a minute. You had all the fun. You gotta come up and tell me don't do it. Now I know it might be bad, but you still here. So that you don't want to. I'm not gonna tell you what not to do. We want to be here to tell you, okay, when we tried that, this is what happened. Then you decide. Because you got the future ahead of you to see the results. You know, all we can do is sit back. I'm not going to sit back and ever say, I regretted some of the things I did. But, life ain't built upon regretting everything that you did. You
That's
have
right.
to make decisions on the information that you have at the time, you know, and don't be afraid. And once you get up 35, 40 years old in this country, you've been around the block, you know what the deal is. It ain't going to change. It ain't going to change, you know.
Hmm. So, President, we love you so much. We'll let you go and handle your business. And like I say, you know, anytime you want to come back, Brother Sun Ray Network Show. This is a network, and his network runs 7 days a week. My show is Thursday. His Brother Sun does his show on Mondays. So we have tell Brother Sun anytime, any day you want to come on, you know, you let us know. Like
okay.
Brother Sun, tell him.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
because I really enjoyed this wisdom tonight. And actually, this is actually on demand also, so they can listen to this anytime they want to, 40 years from now.
Okay.
As long as it's on his record, it will be played. And I'm going to have to re-listen to this tomorrow to get me some more inspiration again. So I thank you for taking your time out, too, and sharing with the family, because we need to hear this. So I appreciate you also. Thank you.
Again. Thank both of y'all for the opportunity, and just let me know. I'm always willing and ready. I'll just keep in touch with you, and especially during these elections and that, or anything, and during times coming up, any way that I can be a benefit or be of information to you, just give me a call. Okay, well, with that, I'm going to say free to land, y'all.
Free to land.
Free to land, President. Love you so much. Much respect.
Okay.
All right. Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That made me whole. Because I tell you, I was so disturbed earlier. But that, praise you, Steve Mosai. That was awesome.
Yes,
Brother Sun, I know, you know, we've been here for so long. Do we have any other questions? Anybody hands up, you know?
We went overtime, so everybody would just still have one person on the phone line just listening. But,
there
was no question listening now. Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
the government is here, and they're all like that. I'm new to it. You know, I hold several positions right now, and young people come through. You know, hey, I mean, they're open. I'm the Minister of Youth, Deputy Minister of Defense. I am the chairperson of the National Election Committee, one-star general, you know. So it's like, okay, you know, because that's how real I am and serious I am about, you know, my people and providing things for my baby. And I'm so excited that now I finally have a place to say, come on, let's go. The boat is here. I have a boat. Not everybody, you don't want to get on, and whatever floats your boat, floats your boat. But if you truly want to be independent and govern your own selves and, you know, have a nation and this land, you know, for us, then we need you all to come through, you know, as many as you want to come through. You know, we're not going to force any hands. We're going to keep doing what we're doing because the elders have been doing this for, say, 46 years, you know, and it's here. And it's, you know, building momentum constantly, consistently, you know, and we want to be in this government and have, you know, awesome position just like these, like the United States government have. You can have one here and learn, because we got our elders. I call them all the time. Anytime I call, they respond. You know, they're answering. They'll give you everything that you need, you know, for you to succeed, because they put all that they have into this, and they don't want it to fail. So if you got any ambition and you have questions and you're not sure, pick up the phone and you can call, and they will guide you through it. They will guide you through it. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing for me. You know, and I do know, like the president said, you know, they're up against opposition, you know, because these devils certainly don't want. That's how powerful the Republican New Africa and the New Black Panthers is. They won't even mention their name. That's how powerful they are.
That's right.
But brother, I want to say, I mean, we could drop you could drop that beautiful song by Tupac Shakur. That's the way it is, y'all. So that's
the
way it
is. Oh, one person I want to tell you the other elder that came on, Brother Umar Sharif, he's also 73 years of age.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic. You know, and I know, as I'm saying, once you get all these, out of the Ministry of Youth, I'm developing an elder council and I'm developing a youth council because it's necessary. You know, because our elders, you know, they have all this wisdom, you know, and our youth have all the initiatives and the intuitives and the strength and the drive. So we have to pull them together, you know, so we can get the work done. So I need help, you know, developing the elder council, and I need help developing the youth council. So any help anybody wants to get involved, again, please, you know, hit me up at tgrna.moy@gmail.com. And that just stands for the Provision of Government, Republic of New Africa, Minister of Youth. Okay? And definitely let Brother Sun know. And if you want to get involved, you know, in the military part, again, hit me up. Provisional Government, tgrna.moy@gmail.com. Because we have the nation, and we have to have, you know, military as well, you know, to secure and support the nation. You know, so New Africans are all over the world. You know, like I say, they're so bad that they don't mention their name. But it's within our right. We're doing everything legally. We're not trying to overthrow, you know, the United States or anything else. There's nothing to overthrow. You know, you don't want us to be a part of you. So let us go. Give us our land. You know, let us do our thing. And the ones who don't want to, claim their heritage, want to forget about because slavery, whatever, was so horrible, they want to pretend it didn't exist and they're not a part of that legacy, fine. Stay here and be a part of the United States. Or you can have a dual citizen, be a new African citizen, and be a United States citizen. Doesn't matter. So it's just so funny how people want to kill you or hurt you because you want to separate, that they want you to separate. They say that you don't belong here. They want you to go back to Africa, when they are all immigrants into this country. They all have a country to claim to be theirs, but they don't want us to have that same privilege.
Yes, most definitely.
Brother Sun?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. All right, I got the song loaded up. Are you ready to go?
I want to thank you so much for everything, Brother Sun. I love you so much. All my brothers and sisters out there, all the people out there, all the white people out there who are righteous in your heart, we love you all. I mean, I have hate for no one. I hate hatred. I hate, you know, violence. I hate, you know, this genocide. I hate this oppression, you know, and truly, I hate the crackers. And like I say, crackers is white supremacy. I hate it. But bodies, that comes kind of difficult for me to hate, you know. But I hate the brother who killed my son, you know. That's a white supremacist. I hate that, you know. And I know a lot of white people hate that too. So that's just the way it is, y'all. Brother Sean.
see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a need, bro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a heat, bro. Get it back to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids and then sang. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on,
come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Changes. All I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes disgrace the racist. We under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the wasted. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, and smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, open field of facts. A penitentiary stack, and it's filled with black. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you're singing in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real, don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made it cheap today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling crack to the kid.
I gotta get paid.
Hey, well, that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
We gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat. Let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the lock, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, track you up, and pimp sack you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops I can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's town number two. You say it ain't cool, but mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Right, that, 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 that. That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.
Way it is.
Oh yeah.
You're my brother, you're my sister.
That's just the way it is.
Things
will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Something will never change.
Peace out. Much love to all. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same because Strange Fruits is rising. I love you all. Mwah. Brother Son, peace.